The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by the Smitten Kitten, non-toxic quality sex toys and supplies. Visit smittenkittenonline.com.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. I have two fantastic guests today. The first is Francisco Ramirez, a sex educator, United Nations consultant, and MTV personality. In the second half of the show, I'll talk to Ariel Clark, an expert in sex-positive parenting. But first up is Francisco, and we recorded his interview in front of a live studio audience at CatalystCon in Washington, D.C. CatalystCon is an amazing sex-positive event. The next one is CatalystCon West in L.A., September 27th to the 29th, and you can go to catalystcon.com to find out more about it. Let's take a listen to the interview. My guest today is Francisco Ramirez. Francisco holds a Master of Public Health with a concentration in sexuality and health from Columbia University's Mailman School of Public Health. In 2007, he was named a Rosenfield Scholar in Sexual and Reproductive Health. For more than 15 years, Francisco Ramirez has dedicated his career to responding to the sexual health and public health needs of diverse communities worldwide. He is a long-term consultant at the United Nations and has led multilingual training, education, and research efforts for organizations around the world, including the United Nations Department of Peacekeeping Operations, MTV International, Planned Parenthood, New York Academy of Medicine, Hetrick Martin Institute, Albert Einstein College of Medicine, and the NAACP. Since 2008, Francisco has offered free advice on relationships, sex, and dating to passersby in New York City parks. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Francisco.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
So, how did you become a sex educator?
I started as a sex educator because my resident assistant at UC Berkeley was a quote-unquote sexpert. And I thought, oh, that's cool. I get to talk about sex all day. So I just kind of fell into it. And I never looked back. Actually, that's not true. It sounds dramatic though, right?
It sounds very dramatic.
I totally looked back. I did a little bit of graphic design here and there, but I actually did remain in sex education all that time. And then, while I was at UC Berkeley and then went on to work at Planned Parenthood as a sex educator.
Now, one of the most fascinating things about you, of course, is that you offer free sex advice to complete strangers in New York City parks.
That I do.
Paranoid people who've never been to New York City might say that this is a risky business, that you could actually be like killed, which is, it's not really true. New York is quite safe. Where in the world did you come up with this idea?
Yeah, so I was actually walking through Central Park maybe 10 years ago or so, and I saw people offering free advice with a sign. So something very similar.
Free advice about?
Free advice on
just anything.
Whatever.
Okay.
And I thought, oh, that'd be fun. I just moved to the city at that point. I thought, oh, I'd get to meet New Yorkers and whatnot. But I thought, well, I should, if I'm going to talk about something, it should be something that I know about. And I'm like, I only know about sex. But interestingly enough, I actually sat on the idea for about 5 years. So year by year, I'd have the idea come into my head, oh, I should really do free sex advice on the street. But I would say, I would talk myself out of it for some reason. So year by year, I would actually buy something or acquire some piece of material or knowledge that I needed for the project. The first year, it was the two chairs from Craigslist that I still use to this day.
Oh my gosh.
The next year, it was the poster board and so on. And then finally, when I was actually at public health school, I said, okay, basta, enough. let's go and do this.
And you just set up your chairs, you put a sign out, and people come and ask you for sex advice.
Yeah. The first time that I did it, I freaked out. I couldn't turn the chair around. I had to call up my sex educator friend in North Carolina and be sort of, you know, talked down from the park bench or whatever. And really, right when I turned around that chair, people came up. And I, even though I was expecting it and been anticipating it for about 5 years, I was still really nervous and freaked out and yet overjoyed.
And what are some things that people ask you?
People ask about everything under the sun. There, I have, since I've been doing it, I'm about to hit my 5-year anniversary very soon. So I'm excited about that. I might give away a stripper pole because I have a random stripper pole in my house.
You anyway, do? Okay. Yeah, that might be a good thing to give away. You know, pay it forward.
Yeah, yeah, it's still in the box. So, you know, hygiene and everything. I know.
Oh, it's new and in the box.
It's not.
Great.
Anyway, tangent, but, what do people ask me about? I think when people are walking by for the first time and they're caught off guard, there's a lot of, first of all, is this for real? And then second of all,
am I on a prank show?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I wish, but no. But then it's a lot of standard, hey, how do I meet somebody in the city? Oh, why are all men like this? Or why are all women like that? There's a lot of sort of general questions. What I find, though, is that both after people get past that question, and they see that we're actually having a meaningful conversation, they start to sort of scratch their head and say, oh, maybe I do have something. And then furthermore, when it's a repeat, and I get a lot of repeat people, then they really come with the hard-hitting sex questions. But I really field every question in the field of sex, dating, sexuality, sexual health, sexuality, all of that.
What's the most surprising question you've ever been asked?
I think the ones that surprise me the most are also kind of the ones that are the most heartbreaking. You know, there's a lot of people with, you know, misinformation about, you know, their bodies, how their body parts function. Those are surprising and yet speak to the fact that we have so much work to do. I think what surprises me the most, though, is just the breadth of stories that I'm dealing with on a weekly basis, every week that I'm out there. You know, there's people, like the first month that I did it, actually had somebody who had just been released from prison that day. And he, you know, was telling me his story of how he used to be abusive to his former female partner. They're no longer together. And he asked me very candidly, how do I be a better person? How do I treat people respectfully?
Did he go to jail for this abuse or for violence against her?
It wasn't clear. It wasn't clear. We didn't go there. But I was just impressed that there was this, you know, I want to say random person, but you know, it was a passerby in Washington Square Park asking me this, a total stranger with a handmade sign, it was handmade at the point, that said free advice on relationships, sex, and dating, that A, he was willing to talk to somebody about this, and that B, he was thinking about this. And, you know, he was there and like he cried, you know, and people cry all the time.
They do.
we get into some heavy stuff. And they tend to share a lot of things that they have never shared with anybody else, or a lot of times that they've never even thought about before. or maybe that they've just tucked away so far in the back of their minds that when, you know, they just see me there and I think, you know, when I'm just open to them and just, you know, they're saying that that's completely non-judgmental, that they can really emote and they can go wherever they need to go. I mean, that guy alone, I mean, he broke my heart, but there are so many where on a regular basis, I am just impressed by what it is that humans are living through that we don't know. And so now sometimes when I walk through the city, I mean, one thing that happens is if I'm in my neighborhood, if I'm downtown where I do the free sex advice, I see people that I've talked to in the chairs all the time. And I'm like, oh, I know your story.
Or I know a piece of your story.
Yeah. And now it's just the compassion that I had when I started, I felt was full. And now it's just, it's expanded and it challenged and on a regular basis.
Now, you do all this for free.
I do.
But you also have some jobs too,
yeah, jobs.
Which is good. So you don't like live in Central Park, which would be a whole other situation.
Yeah.
And one of the things you do is you do a lot of work for MTV. Tell me about that.
So I work in social responsibility there. So I work for channels like MTV Voices, MTV Staying Alive, where we do videos and online content that might be sort of in conjunction with a television show that's running, or it could just be on its own. I did some work with the Savage You show that was going on MTV, Dan Savage's show, where I created an online series called Sex or Credit with Francisco, which was taking the issues that would happen in that week's episode and pushing them further and sort of going, you know, if that was 101, we're going to, is it 201?
It's 201. Deeper.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Deeper. Yeah.
What do you think of Dan Savage and his new show on MTV?
I love Dan Savage. Just a quick story. Dan Savage walked by Free Advice. I don't know if you know this. Like,
I don't.
Randomly walked by. He doesn't live in New York, right? But he walked by randomly maybe three years ago. And he took a picture. And I looked up. I was talking to a person at the time. And then he walked by and I was like, I think I knew him. Like, why does it look familiar? And I thought it was like typical New York. Like, you see celebrity, whatever. And you just keep going. And I'm like, OMG, that was Dan Savage. So I'd never done this before. But I asked the guy. I was like, please, I promise I'll be right back. Can I just for a second. So I ran across the park, totally Ferris Bueller style, where it's, you know, you're like, dun, 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 dun. And I caught up to him. Within a minute, literally, of saying, it's an honor to meet you, he said, oh, you should guest host my show. And that, at that moment, his Savage Love cast, at that moment, the world changed. And I said, that's when I wanted to start doing media, because everything somehow in my head clicked. And so, you know, months after that is when I started MTV, because I just really said, I am all about medium, all about television, radio, internet, getting some of these messages that have only, you know, we only talk about, for example, at Free Advice, one-on-one, and up until this year hadn't been recorded. Let's get some of this out to a larger audience. It's time.
Well, and if any audience needs it, it is MTV's audience, because this is the crucial kind of demographic that I feel like really needs this sex education almost desperately. But we're going to talk about that and more. We first have to take a break and hear from our fabulous sponsors, including the Smitten Kitten, a progressive sex toy store for everyone. Visit the Smitten Kitten either in Minneapolis or online at smittenkittenonline.com. Use coupon code Tristan for 20% off. Stay with us. More Sex Out Loud when we return.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Hello, Sex Out Loud listeners. This is Jennifer from the Smitten Kitten. Did you know that you can get 20% off your entire purchase at smittenkittenonline.com? All you have to do to get your discount is use the coupon code Tristan. That's T-R-I-S-T-A-N. That means you can get 20% off all Enjoy surgical steel toys, 20% off all Vixen Creation silicone toys, including Tristan's signature butt plugs, and you can also get all of Tristan's DVDs, the entire Vivid Ed series she did, and the Chemistry series for 20% off. Sex Out Loud listeners can get 20% off of everything at smittenkittenonline.com. Smitten Kitten specializes in high-quality sex toys and supplies. We're well-known for having an amazing selection of toys made of silicone and other body-safe materials. Shopping on our website is easy. You can chat online with a Smitten Kitten sex educator, or you can call us anytime at 888-751-0523. Everything is 20% off at smittenkittenonline.com when you use coupon code Tristan at the checkout.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning Expert Guide Sex Education Series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. Today we are recording in front of a live studio audience at Catalyst Con in Washington, D.C., and my guest is Francisco Ramirez, who is a sex educator and gives free sex advice to strangers in New York City in Central Park. He also hosts several programs on MTV, and you're working on your own television show, I understand.
Yes, actually, so I have my hands in lots of pies, as they say.
Yes, I gather that.
So the television show that we're developing is on human sexuality. And I wish I could say tons about it, but we're actually at the stage where there's the non-disclosures out there and all that.
Oh,
but,
yeah, secret.
Secret, top secret stuff. It is definitely a fresh idea that I can guarantee has not been anywhere on cable or network television. So I'm really excited about that. But yeah, we're working on a television program. I've been working on a mobile app now with a really great team.
Now, I have to say, I think the app market is wide open.
Fully.
If you go to the app store and you put in sex ed or sex or sex advice, you get these really super cheesy positions apps.
OMG.
Oh my God. They're awful. There's 20 million of them and they're all the same. They were like grandfathered in because iTunes and Apple actually changed their policies. And if your app is too much like another app now, you can't get in. But this was before that policy. So there's all these crappy positions apps with actually not any information that's useful to people.
Misinformation.
In fact, yes. But I think it's interesting to talk about apps and other kinds of technology because things are changing at such a rapid rate. I mean, how do you feel like you stay on top of all of it?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, it's certainly, you know, it requires a lot of thought and a huge team and a network. So it's definitely not just me by any means. I mean, I rely on everyone at MTV doing what we're doing there. But I think a lot of my work in general is just listening. Across the effing board. Like when I'm in Washington Square Park in Union Square, I am a giant ear. You know, if you want me to talk, I will talk all day long. But you probably don't so much want me to talk all day long. You want to be witnessed. And that's what people are wanting in the park. And I think it's, in the sense, what people want outside of the park. You know, witness me on Facebook, see me on Twitter, all this sort of thing. So to stay on top of it is to pay attention, is to listen, is to have dialogues, is to share knowledge. And sometimes share knowledge gets read as imparting knowledge, but I give you knowledge, you give me knowledge, and we're sharing.
And so a lot of your job sounds like being a therapist. Did you ever think I should be a therapist? I should be a sex therapist? Was that ever a path considered?
It was. I originally wanted to be a chef. When I was like 5. It's true. And then, yeah, I did. I used to buy Psychology Today at the grocery store when I was maybe like 12 or something. That and Cat Fancy Those are my two mags of choice, whatever that means.
Francisco,
I know
that means a lot. And actually, that could be an analyst's dream client. No, go ahead.
But I found myself less in the sex therapy direction and more in standard public health, sexual health. And I think, you know, I moved from there, you know, what I was doing at the UN back sort of into more non-conventional directions with, you know, free advice, mobile app, MTV, media, television, that sort of thing.
Okay, so speaking of unconventional, here at Catalyst Con, you gave a presentation which was about being an entrepreneur. Tell me some of the highlights from that.
Oh gosh, there were so many highlights. There was so much to talk about. We talked about the 10 keys to creating an unconventional career in sexuality. And a lot of what we talked about was sort of standard entrepreneurial stuff. But I think that there are some things that are unique to entrepreneurs in the field of sexuality. For example, we sometimes devalue our own work or undersell ourselves.
I 100% agree with that point. I think that's been a point that has been echoed now several times. I mean, I did this, you know, informal meeting before the conference with Amy Jo Goddard, who was collecting people together, and she spoke up at the keynote, the opening plenary, saying that I think we do need to value our work. And, you know, it's part of a larger issue, which is that our culture doesn't value sexuality or sex education. We value it in that it can help us sell perfume and cars, but we don't value actual, real, concrete, specific, and especially explicit sex information and education. And that has become a problem because too many people who are sex educators can't create a sustainable business of sex education.
Right, right.
Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we often look at it as society limiting us, and certainly there is that. But we are, I think, more limiting ourselves. As soon as we start believing, meditating, affirming, whatever it is that works for us, to really get in our heads, this thing that I just created, pretty freaking awesome and will rock your life on many axes. Check it out. If you're excited about it and you can see the value in it, then you can sell it to other people. But we first have to believe it for ourselves.
Which I think is difficult, because I think that there are certainly a lot of signs around us telling us, you want to be a what? You want to do what? Yeah. That's not even a job. I mean, I certainly, when I first started this, there were no role models for me. There was no such thing as, you know, a self-sustainable sex educator. There was basically like Dr. Ruth. And certainly there were sex experts and cultural critics, people like Carol Queen and Deborah Sundahl and Susie Bright. But I was always imagining they're all like scraping together money to print on our backs in San Francisco. It didn't seem like they were, you know, rolling in money or making a go of it. Mm. So, and I think for some reason that still lingers. It's, you know, for me, it's like so many years later and it's still operating. There aren't enough role models. But part of that is exciting because you can make up this stuff as you go along.
Absolutely.
And be creative and sort of, you know, choose your own destiny.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the negatives are certainly there. You know, that I think, you know, when we fail, sometimes it's hard to get back up on our feet again because we feel like, you know, there's just so few people that sort of turn to say, how do I recover from whatever challenges that I'm facing right now? You know, this morning at the session, I likened it to this. I said, you know, having dreams without actions is like having a Hitachi without an electric outlet. Yeah, it's terribly, you know.
Well, I could hump it probably in way. I mean, maybe possibly make it work. Okay, but that's another story.
But I feel like humping it, hear me out. Humping it would be great. I mean, it's a great, it's the nub and it's,
yeah,
it's great. Sure. But I imagine this Hitachi without an outlet and I just think potential. You know, and it just potential lost. And I think that so many of us are stepping on ourselves, on our own feet before we get out the gate with these amazing ideas.
The energy at this conference, the spirit feels very ripe and very energized. I mean, I just feel like people are ready to shift the cultural dialogue around sex ed and to really affect change. People seem fired up. which gives me hope.
Yeah.
And so if all those people in the world have come to you and asked their questions and told their stories, who do you go to for sex advice?
Oh.
Is that a good question? They liked that. They liked that.
I'm literally scratching my head. I have some saucy kind of out there friends.
You do? So
I do. People ask me sometimes, like, what are the wildest questions that you get, you know, in general? And I say the wildest questions I get are over dim sum at Jing Fong on a Sunday morning.
With people you know.
With my friends.
Not around strangers.
No. But, you know, the strangers do sort of make it interesting. I would actually say, though, so both my friends over dim sum, but also, believe it or not, in the park. It's their concern and I'm addressing it. Once in a while, maybe one out of every 100 people will say, do you have any questions? And I'll think honestly and I'll say, yes or no, and I'll put it out to them. But I think so much of actually my questions about sexuality in general, and then my personal questions about sexuality, actually get resolved or thought through at the very least through the people that I'm talking to, which is pretty freaking awesome.
That's kind of magical.
It is.
Yeah. Do we have any questions, speaking of questions, from our gallery over here? Oh, we do. Okay, come on over.
Have you ever been totally stumped, like at the time when somebody asked you a question, but then thought about it and, you know, later on after they had left, you like had a better answer for them?
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, so both yes and yes. I have been stumped, way stumped, and I do my best. You know, sometimes I'll pull out, you know, Google Chrome and we'll get to work in the park. But certainly I do think about like what happens to the people after. And it's rare that I get an opportunity to follow up. One out of every, I don't know, 40, 50 people sends me an email afterwards or a tweet, whatever. More tweets, but less sort of follow-up emails. And then I get the chance to interact. In fact, I was just emailing one today. This amazing...
Someone you met in the park?
Yeah. I don't know if I go into it now.
Go into it. Okay.
So...
Fuck it. Go into it. Will you stay? Okay, great. Good.
Excellent. So she was a young woman. She walked by one night in Washington Square Park with her partner. And she had just come out to her mom, I want to say a few days before. And... She had been planning, though, all the while, a wild, exciting love road trip with her partner. And they were very excited about it. But since she had just come out to her mom was kind of freaking out and didn't know what to do. And so her mom was sort of saying, look, if you go on this road trip with this person, things are going to change. And I'm going to be really upset. And, you know, there will be ramifications with capital R. And so she was faced on that very night. Do I go on this road trip or do I stay, you know, with my mom and kind of go with what my mom wants? So we really, I remember talking that one out and the email says, you know, that she went on the road trip and I was so happy. I mean, my work in the park, I don't try to give advice. I'm more listening to what's on people's minds and give some feedback that's hopefully helpful, but I was secretly rooting that she would follow her heart. And I might have even like casually suggested it. Yeah, but she did. And you know, she wrote this incredibly amazing email just now explaining really poignantly how the free advice kind of was this push, was this catalyst, if you will. Mm-hmm. And how it really sparked this conversation with her mom. They started to scratch the surfaces of things that had never been scratched. You know, this sort of thing happens a lot, I think, at free advice. I don't want to sort of aggrandize it. A lot of times it is just like, hey, what's a good lube? But but people bring really, really personal things. And to that question of, you know, what do I do? I just sort of, if I don't have the opportunity to email them back, I just sit on it in a really careful way and honor it and just say, look, I was fortunate enough to hear this person's story that they never told before. And I won't let that go. I'll use that and the lesson from it at some point again. And here I am.
That's fantastic. Thanks. I mean, your work obviously is so inspirational to you. And I can tell that even though that these are strangers, you really connect with these people on a deep level, which is amazing. And it's amazing that you continue to do it, not burn out. And these people have this resource to go to. They have you.
Oh, thank you.
So thank you so much for being on Sex Out Loud.
Well, thank you. Speaking of resources, P.S., you are the resource. It just has to be said. You are like, I give talks and I'm like, and I start talks on like the one today where I said, you know, we have people in our field, you know, few and far between who really lead ways and give us just ideas of how to go about this. And you are always like right up front. And I sometimes watch your reel. Because it's so inspirational to me. I just see, oh my gosh, everywhere, you know, doing everything. And and there are so, I think, few of us doing this and even maybe less of us really doing it in earnest and making an impact. So thank you.
Oh, they're all laughing. Thank you, Francisco. That was very sweet. Francisco Ramirez holds a Master of Public Health with a concentration in sexuality from Columbia University. Since 2008, Francisco has offered free advice on relationships, sex, and dating to passersby in New York City parks. Times and locations for free sex advice are posted on his Twitter at @FranciscoNYC and on his website, franciscoramirez.org. All of these links and more can be found at Sex Out Loud Radio. Click on the link for episode resources. And there'll be more Sex Out Loud when we return.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Jennifer Pritchett from The Smitten Kitten. We're huge Tristan Taramino fans, just like you, and we're so proud to be the presenting sponsor for Sex Out Loud. If you're not already familiar with Smitten Kitten, here's the deal. We're an education-based sex toys and supplies retailer. We sell high-quality, non-toxic, and artist-made sex toys, organic lubes, and all kinds of kinky stuff, including hard-to-find vegan options. We cater to an incredibly diverse clientele and specialize in helping you find new sexual interests, expand your sexual skill sets, and even troubleshoot sexual issues with you. We are here to help you feel confident and sexy. We spend a ton of time and energy curating our selection of products to make sure we have the best selection, be it silicone dildos, pegging and strap-on equipment, vibrators, or ethically made porn. Our mission is to make sex-positive culture accessible to everyone. Don't miss our free streaming explicit educational videos, many of which were directed by Tristan herself, on our website, smittenkittenonline.com. Get inspired by Tristan's amazing show, Sex Out Loud, and then visit us online at our Minneapolis location.
Looking to add something fun and different to your sexual experiences? Then try AstroGlide X, premium silicone personal lubricant. AstroGlide X contains a unique blend of high-quality silicones that provide a silky smooth experience unlike any other. AstroGlide X is also waterproof and perfect for water play. Not only does AstroGlide X last longer than all water-based products and is hypoallergenic and latex-safe, it's even great for massage. For more information and a free sample, visit astroglide.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Well, we are going to go from one sex educator right to another, this time on the opposite coast. My next guest is Arielle Clark, a San Francisco Bay Area parenting expert and sexologist and the founder of The Sex Positive Parent. She has a master's degree in sexuality studies from San Francisco State and is a rambunctious single parent of two teenage sons. She is a contributing writer for the San Francisco Bay Guardian, Oakland Local, Good Vibrations Magazine, the Sex Positive Photo Project of the San Francisco Bay Area, and Shades Magazine. Arielle sees the mission of her work to provide strategies and support for sex-positive parenting. She specializes in community building for parents with alternative sexualities. She also leads parent education workshops, provides one-on-one parent coaching, and consults other sex educators on how to include parents in their work. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Arielle.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
So it seems like every single day I get at least one question from a parent about how to talk to their kids about sex. I feel like there are just so few resources out there. And I realize that there is an entire generation of sex positive people who've become parents and want their kids to have a different level of sex education than many of them had when they were young. Where do you recommend new parents begin?
I think you're totally right that people are looking for a new way of doing it. To begin with, most parents look to other parents. I mean, honestly, that's where peer-to-peer counseling or peer-to-peer advice giving is pretty powerful for new parents. If you don't necessarily identify with your own parents, maybe you have a different sexuality, you have a different class, or you just don't spend much time with your parents, you need support from someone. So the parents who, you might be the first in your circle to become parents, or you might be kind of in the middle, like your friends have kids older than you, your friends are having babies while you already had yours. You kind of have to fit in and figure out who do you trust, who do you like, who do you see in your peer group that is doing a good job and you kind of want to see as a mentor, and be explicit about that. Like, hey, I really appreciate how you're going about potty training, or how you're going about talking to your kids about your lovers, or how you're handling your in-laws in regards to being, you know, coming out while your kids are in elementary school. And talking to those parents, like, I think fostering those kinds of connections are really important.
I mean, that's true across the board, at least from what I've seen of my friends who have kids, is that the ones who have a support network seem to really thrive. I also think there's this myth, though, specifically around sex, which, and it reflects reality, because there's this idea that there is the talk with a capital T, or the birds and bees talk that parents are supposed to have with their kids about sex education. But I remember someone saying to me, and I cannot for the life of me remember who it was, so I'm apologizing that I'm not crediting you, whoever you were, if you're listening. But this person said to me, you know, this really isn't, there is no one sex conversation. It's a lifetime of conversations. Do you agree with that?
Oh, 100%. And the person who really brought that to our cultural attention on a wide scale was Dr. Joycelyn Elders. When she was Surgeon General in the 90s, early 90s, that was a big part of her platform, was sex education through the lifetime, that there isn't one talk and that there shouldn't be one talk. It needs to be age appropriate, you know, from birth to death.
So right, right.
Well,
I hear a lot of stuff about age appropriateness, like what, and that makes perfect sense to me in the sort of abstract, but I guess my question is, what is the right age for parents to talk to their kids about things that sexually active young people need to know? For example, like sexually transmitted infections or birth control. I mean, is there an agreed upon age that you need to talk to your kids at this age about that stuff?
Well, it's hard, right? Because people don't want to say things too early, right? They don't want to violate this idea of innocence or put ideas into their kids' head. So we push it off and push it off until the kids are already having sex. And it's like, well, it's kind of late. So the idea is at 9 years old, 10 years old, 11 years old, that's the age to talk about STIs, hygiene, but also peer pressure, pleasure. Like, you know, it's still kind of an abstract idea for kids. Be like, yeah, you know, at some point, relatively soon, you're going to want to share your genitals with somebody else. And kids will flip out at that idea.
Right. Well, they'll flip out, but then they'll be doing it soon enough. So
right.
So you would say before you think they're going to get there, you should bring this stuff up.
Right, because it's safely academic at this age. It's there's a natural distance there. It's like someday in the future, not right this moment, and that can create a safe space because you're not talking about them in the immediate sense. You're talking about them in the future sense, and you're not even really talking about them. You're just talking about people.
Mm-hmm.
So that creates like a nice, safe boundary. And if you don't have to make it about them in that moment, you can just say, this is what people do when people have sex. This is what happens. These are the risks. These are the joys. You know, you can provide books and things like that at this age to say, like, these are the factual information. It's easy to talk about it factually before you're involved in it emotionally.
Mm. What do you think is the biggest mistake that parents make when they talk to their kids about sex?
I feel like parents kind of do this, this like puffing up to where they pretend they know more than they do, or they feel like they have to pretend to have all the answers. And then if the kid asks them something that they don't want to talk about, they just kind of shut down. So the biggest mistake is coming at it from this know-it-all perspective, or diminishing or telling the kids their anxieties aren't important, or, you know, not acknowledging like, yeah, this is scary, or yeah, like you've probably got a ton of questions and I don't have all the answers, but I'm committed to finding them out together. Like, if I don't know something, it's okay to have that question. Let's go find out. That's really important. I think coming at it from this been there, done that, it's, you know, I know all the answers, is just kind of demoralizing to the kid if they want to have you as a trusted resource.
Right. Well, that really makes sense. But I wonder how, if you're a person who was parented by someone who gave you no sex education at all, but you've, you know, grown and blossomed into this sex positive person, how do you kind of not repeat that cycle? I mean, it's strange to me, but sometimes I have conversations with people who are sex positive who have, for example, much younger siblings. And when I ask them about, hey, have you reached out to them around, you know, around sex, they've all of a sudden become these strange conservative people who are like, my little sister is not having sex.
Yeah.
In a really ridiculous way. So how do you not then repeat that with your kids? Because that's kind of how you were treated when you grew up.
Well, the first step in being a sex positive parent is to make the decision to be different, and to make the decision to go find resources and to move beyond your comfort zone. Like, that's the first step, is to say, okay, I am flying without a net here. I know I want to do something different. Let me go find resources. Let me ask for help, which as a parent is kind of a scary thing to do, because we're kind of taught that we're supposed to handle things intuitively. And like, as you said, well, if your intuitive template is like not helping you, what do? You got to go find some resources, and you have to find resources that match your values. So acknowledge you're having an emotional response, acknowledge that this is fear or shame or concern, or you're feeling powerless, and then move past it, because the information is too important to let it sit behind some wall of fear or some wall of shame. We have to help our kids out. Like, we really have to move forward.
And I think that's part of what some parents want to do, is they want to do it over and give their kids what they didn't have. I mean, this kind of information and sense of empowerment and knowledge that they didn't have growing up, and they kind of wish they had. I mean, in some ways, it's an opportunity, right? What would you tell your 9-year-old self if you could go back and tell them? Certainly, my 9-year-old self knew very, very little about sex.
So it's an interesting opportunity, I think, for people, but one that they need support around. And I'm wondering, you know, how much support is out there? Because you're also in the Bay Area, which strikes me as, you know, it's a stereotype, but it's true. Everyone there is like super radical and sex positive. But yeah. I wonder if you know, people who are like living in the Midwest or the Deep South can find those same resources or that same kind of support. I mean, what would you recommend for people who are not necessarily ensconced in a sex positive community?
Right. Well, that's a great question. One, I'm here. Like, I've tried to make myself available. I know that the Bay Area, we do have the bubble, but we also have a ton of social media, and our platforms are pretty accessible. So you can find community, even if it's online. You can find out, the Bay Area, we have a lot going on. We're also sharing a lot, which is amazing. So I suggest, like, I have clients from Ireland and Australia.
Mm.
And, you know, they contact me and they're like, what do I do? I mean, I've had East Coast people. I've had some folks from the South, but I've also had people from other countries. One article I wrote for Good Vibrations was huge in India. I mean, it was massive. So, you know, through technology, you can get support. You can get access to sex-positive parenting information. And that's kind of why I created the Sex-Positive Parent, because I didn't see those resources. Like, I'm a parent. I've been a parent longer than I've been a sex educator. So I made this for people kind of like myself. Like, wow, I look around and I'm in the Bay Area. But that doesn't mean that there's parenting resources that are sex positive or inclusive to LGBT identities or inclusive to polyamory or inclusive to kink. I mean, even though I am the Bay Area, we still have a pretty white, heteronormative, middle class sex education model. And that doesn't always fit either.
Right. Okay, well, listen, we're going to take a break and hear from our fabulous sponsors, including the Smitten Kitten. I know you people have heard this before, but you can go to smittenkittenonline.com and use coupon code Tristan and get 20% off your entire order. So you should go do that. Treat yourself. I also heard they're having a big sale, so you should do it now. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got a ton of listener questions all about sex-positive parenting. So don't go anywhere. More with Ariel Clark when we come back.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Hello, Sex Out Loud listeners. This is Jennifer from the Smitten Kitten. Did you know that you can get 20% off your entire purchase at smittenkittenonline.com? All you have to do to get your discount is use the coupon code Tristan. That's T-R-I-S-T-A-N. That means you can get 20% off all Enjoy surgical steel toys, 20% off all Vixen Creation silicone toys, including Tristan's signature butt plugs, and you can also get all of Tristan's DVDs, the entire Vivid Ed series she did, and the Chemistry series for 20% off. Too. Sex Out Loud listeners can get 20% off of everything at smittenkittenonline.com. Smitten Kitten specializes in high-quality sex toys and supplies. We're well-known for having an amazing selection of toys made of silicone and other body-safe materials. Shopping on our website is easy. You can chat online with a Smitten Kitten sex educator, or you can call us anytime at 888-751-0523. Everything is 20% off at smittenkittenonline.com when you use coupon code Tristan at the checkout.
Turn off the TV and pick up the remote control that is sure to please. Worn while making love, the WeVibe 3 features whisper quiet motors that will keep you anything but quiet. We can't help it if the rechargeable battery lasts longer than you do. Learn more about the world's number one vibrator for couples at WeVibe.com. WeVibe. Share the pleasure.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I want to do a shout out to my other two fabulous sponsors, Astroglide. You can go to astroglide.com to get a free sample. And also WeVibe. Go to WeVibe.com and find out all about the WeVibe 3, which is an amazing new toy with fantastic technology. We're talking today with sex positive parenting expert Ariel Clark, and we've got a ton of questions from listeners, so let's dive right in. First, from Angela. I am the single mom of a six-year-old, and a few weeks ago, he came into the kitchen while I was making dinner and asked what having sex was. I was caught off guard, and I panicked, and I said it was two people kissing. He said, okay, and left the room before I could take it back. And now I feel terrible. And I know that I need to explain to him what it really is, but I have no idea how to go about that. Should I start the conversation or wait for the topic to come up again spontaneously and be better prepared when it does?
That's a great question. So my rule of thumb when it comes to younger kids asking questions is first ask them more questions before you answer anything, because you really need to know where they're coming from and what context that question is arising from, because we know everything, right? We're the adults. We know a thousand things that that could mean, but for that six-year-old, it probably means something very specific. So the first thing is, well, why do you want to know? Or, oh, why do you ask? Or what do you think it means? Things like that. Make it reflexive. It's like, you know, get a container for the conversation you're going to have. Mm-hmm. So go back to that six-year-old and just say, hey, you know, I'm thinking about what you asked me. Why did you ask that question? Or are you still thinking about that? Or, I mean, there's a ways you, I think for sure you should go back and ask, because it's driving you crazy as the parent. And that matters. Like, what's buzzing around in your brain, you know, is valid enough to ask the kid, like, hey, I'm still thinking about that. Are you still thinking about that? And maybe ask some more questions.
And can you admit that you were caught off guard? Can you just be honest and say, I said kissing, but it's more than kissing?
I don't think you need to do that, because it kind of undermines your authority. And for mm-hmm. a six-year-old, you really are the almanac of the planet. Mm-hmm. So I don't think you need to do that. I think that's more of your own stuff as a parent. I don't think you need to bring it in, because it's going to be, the parent is going to have enough anxiety just bringing it up. So the kid doesn't need to know that you were wrong. You can just say, I want to talk about it some more because there's more to it. And maybe I didn't answer your question fully, or I was thinking about it. And, you know, when I was your age, I had a lot of questions about this. So let's talk about it and I can give you more information.
Got it. Okay. The next question comes from Kathy. I'd like to know if there's any benefit or enough benefit to make up for the sex negative connotations of encouraging kids to wait to have sex. I believe that right now, most kids would be best served by waiting until they're older for sex. They're not bad people if they don't, and different people mature at different rates. But I suspect that for most young people, sex elicits all kinds of complicated new feelings, which are more easily and better dealt with after they get a little more life experience under their belts. But I'm open to other views. So this is interesting.
Yeah, well, actually, it's a really common thought process. The facts are, the research shows that kids who talk about sexuality with their parents actually have sex later in life. And that's an across-the-board statistic. So kids who are able to have an open and honest dialogue with their parents about gender, sexuality, sex roles, anatomy, physiology, if kids can have an ongoing conversation, they have sex later. So if the goal is, I want my kids to wait to have sex until they're as mature as possible, until they're as emotionally developed as possible, then the best way to make that happen is to talk to them about sex openly and honestly.
Fantastic. Okay, from another listener who's a longtime listener who we love, Biblio Butch, can you tell me about safeguarding girls and boys against rape culture and teaching them and empowering them around consent.
Yes, the consent question. I think it's really important for rape culture to be addressed, and it's not gender specific. Everyone experiences the ramifications of rape culture, boys and girls. I really don't like gendering it as to say, you know, boys are the ones who commit rape and girls are the victims, and like that just takes us so far backwards. It's really important to acknowledge that everyone suffers from a culture that promotes and apologizes for, you know, non-consensual sexual behavior. So the important part is to talk about sex in a non-gender binary way at a very young age. Everyone has sexual desires. Everyone has the right to say no. Everyone's body belongs to them. Everyone has to ask permission. No one's exception. There's no girls have to do this and boys have to do that. No, everybody has to do this. And therefore, the messages aren't gendered. So as the kid develops and grows and they find their gender identity and they're performing their gender identity, there's no template for non-consensual behavior for them to follow based upon that gender identity. If everyone deserves respect, if everyone has a sexuality, if everyone sometimes wants to have sex and sometimes they don't want to have sex, that removes that whole gendered power dynamic that, you know, we see slut shaming and we see boys not coming forth if they are harmed. We see all this really dysfunctional behavior. And it's kind of easy for parents to, I don't want to say absorb that toxicity, but to address it head on. You know, don't be afraid to talk to your kids about non-consensual power dynamics. You know, if someone comes up to you and pushes you, that's not okay. If someone comes up to you and slaps your butt, that's not okay. If you want to hug somebody, but they don't want to hug you, that's okay. It's okay for you to be rejected and you shouldn't throw a fit about it. And it's okay for you to tell someone you don't want them to touch you, and that's fine. That's a really basic model of consent that you can do in your household. If you ask for hugs, if you respect someone if they tell you they don't want a hug, if you teach kids that it's 100% normal to be autonomous with your body, that follows them forever, and that follows them through puberty, and it follows them through their first sexual crushes or their first romantic encounters. The kids follow what their parents teach them, especially in regards to consent.
This is a fantastic point, because what you're talking about is not just what you say as parents, but what you do. The behavior that you model, and being really conscious of that, which I think is a really critical point in this whole discussion. We're out of time. Oh my God. Listen, I have more questions. I'm hoping maybe I can send you some and you'll answer a couple and I can put them on my blog for our listeners who didn't get to them.
Yes.
Okay, that would be awesome. Thank you so much for being on Sex Out Loud, Ariel.
Thank you for having me.
Ariel Clark is the founder of the Sex Positive Parent. She leads parent education workshops, provides one-on-one parenting coaching, and consults with other sex educators. Find out more about her on thesexpositiveparent.com. Follow her on Twitter at Ariel Clark, AirielClark. And you can find her on Facebook at The Sex Positive Parent. All of these links and more can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources. And if you want to find me, check out my adults-only website, puckerup.com, and my safe-for-work site, tristantaramino.com. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern, when my guest will be feminist pornographer Erica Lust, coming all the way from Barcelona to be on our show. Until then, I encourage you to keep the discussion going on facebook.com/asktristan, on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio, and in your own life. Take some time to talk about, with your kids, sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino, on Voice America Variety. Sex Out Loud is brought to you by The Smitten Kitten, non-toxic quality sex toys and supplies. Visit smittenkittenonline.com.